The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The Burt Show.
How you doing today, Trish? You seem all down. You all right?
Yeah, I've been down for a while. I don't know. I'm going through a funk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going through a couple of tough things. The dad thing's not working out so well.
No, my dad just keeps sending me Bible links.
Oh, God.
Hear about this?
Yeah, we were just talking about it off the air. This is a rough time for Tracy.
Really rough.
Her dad's really struggling with her growing up and being an adult and still sees her as a little 7-year-old in pigtails.
And we detailed, in depth the last couple of weeks of this fight that she's in with her dad right now, because she moved in with this guy named Scott and her dad didn't know about it for a year and a half and just found out about it. And now he's like, hasn't talked to her at all, but is just emailing her different Bible links.
Scott thinks I should email him back just like random links to like movie times and stuff. He's like, what the hell?
I like
that idea.
I thought Jessica had the idea of emailing him back the link to the famous Bible book of, hey, you got divorced once.
Well, no, he didn't get divorced. He got his marriage annulled, which means that's accepted in the Catholic Church, which basically, yeah.
He was, however, he did live with a woman before they got married, correct?
Correct.
So,
which he
same situation.
Says that he is still paying for his sins, and there are consequences to his actions, and there will be consequences.
Oh, come on. And what did he say about your boyfriend, Scott?
Oh, he asked why Scott did not call him and ask if it was okay with my father that we did this. And I said, I didn't think it was Scott's responsibility to call because you are my father and this is my relationship. And therefore, I thought it would be it's my place to call you and tell you this. And he says, it's just like the modern man to let the woman fall on the knife for him.
Oh.
Did you tell Scott that yet?
Yeah, I told him.
You did.
We told you not to tell him.
Don't tell him that.
You just brought it up on the radio.
He doesn't listen to us.
Yes, he does.
You could have said, I'm not going to tell him that.
Why did you tell him this weekend? We across the board said, don't tell him.
Because I tell him everything.
He'll never be able to face your father again. If Jessica's dad ever said that about me, I would never, the relationship would have to end.
Wow, just like the modern man.
That's what I wrote back, and I said, I don't know if it's so much as the modern man or a barbaric and archaic view to think that my man needs to fight my battles with my father for me.
So Tracy's gone through a tough time the last couple of weeks, and her boyfriend Scott is like
taking back to quarter life crisis.
This is like a great example. We're going to talk to Ramona here in a second, but you're a perfect example of what happens during like one of these quote unquote quarter life crises. And you know, Scott, her boyfriend, is how old?
26.
And he's in just the process of really like working his way up the corporate ladder. So he's busting his ass all the time. She's barely seeing him. So she's in a fight with her dad over a relationship with a guy that she's barely even seeing, even though she knows that the relationship is right. She's going through this crappy time right now.
Yeah, it sucks. I'm in a total funk and I can't get out of it.
I'm sorry, man.
That's all right.
Hey, Ramona.
Hi, what's up, guys?
Do these sound like symptoms of the quarter life crisis?
Yeah, that will be my diagnosis as well.
You're going through kind of the same thing right now?
I'm really going through it. Hard times.
Go ahead. Give us some details.
Well, as of a couple weeks ago, I had a really cool job. You know, like my first kind of grown-up job. I was engaged to a great guy. He's really wonderful. And it's actually been for the past few months, I've just started to have doubts about everything. Career, you know, my place in the world type of thing. And I kind of feel like I've been slowly, it sounds weird, but maybe, I don't know if I'm falling out of love with him. And also, I'm just realized I'm totally not ready to get married at all. You know, I haven't done enough. I still need to get my degree. I haven't traveled. I don't want to have kids right now. So I kind of just quit my job. you know, you talk about climbing up the corporate ladder. I jumped off and broke up with my fiance. And now I think I'm just going to move to California and stay with my parents and go to school.
So this complete, like, life change right now. And you're how old? I'm sorry.
I'm 25.
25 years old.
That's perfect
exactly.
For the quarter-life crisis. I felt right. Like I kind of went through a similar thing around 25 and 26, too. Like, I had a lot of friends that after college, they went to go find themselves, you know, and they were working right. At the ski resort out in Colorado and, you know, wearing their Birkenstocks and going to a whole lot of widespread panic shows and thought that that was them, you know, finding themselves and that sort of thing. And I didn't. I started my first job 5 days after graduation from college and started working and haven't stopped since. And so I, at 25, I was going through that same struggle, like, okay, like a lot of my friends who had gone and done that, I felt like maybe had gained something that I didn't gain because I was working, working 60 hours a week trying to make a name for myself and, you know, in this town and in this city and just going crazy and felt like, who am I? What am I doing? Have I just been moving too fast, like with blinders on, not to discover myself and all that? But I think with me sticking through it, coming out on the other end, realizing that I think that my friends that went to go find themselves, you know, on the ski slopes in Colorado will eventually go through what I went through. I just went through it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a realization that life's not going to be as dreamy as you had hoped it was when you were philosophizing about the world in college.
Mm-hmm. I've been in the same industry since I was 18, like financial services, and I hate it. I just kind of just fell into it. It's really the only job I can get and make a decent living without having a degree. If I decide to change careers, I kind of just need to go back to school. And then a few, like right before I quit, I was starting to get really nervous. I was having panic attacks at work. And I just kind of quit, and I quit via email. That's how bad it was.
Oh, God.
Oh, come on, like, now. You can't quit via
really
email.
Bad. I was just like, yeah, I just kind of left them hanging. I was like, you know, I'm not feeling good.
Wrong.
That's like what you do when you're at 16 and you're working at Taco Bell.
Really, like, childlike, but I cannot, my health, like, I really couldn't stay there a day longer. I was just having issues. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Come on now.
That's
an excuse. Quarter life crisis in this scenario is an excuse. I mean, because you should have, you're an adult. You're an adult now.
Well, let me take calls on this and then we'll get back to it. But is there really such thing as a quarter life crisis for a woman? Good morning, Christina. You're on All the Hits, Q100.
Good morning. I do think that there is such thing as a quarter life crisis. However, I'm the same age as your caller. And if this is the first real job she's had, she just needs to wake up and face reality because, I mean, it's growing up. It's a part of life. I'm 25. I've been working since I was 16. I've been on my own since I was 19. And like I said, if this is the first real time she's had to be out on her own and experience this stuff, she's very fortunate. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, grow up. Don't quit over email. Suck it up. You're an adult. Get your foot out there, open the doors, and make a life for yourself. Yep. You have to deal with the punches that come to you.
Right. I've actually been on my own since I was 19. I've been in the same industry since I started as a bank teller, worked my way up to, like, I'm now, like, financial advisor. So I've been working in the same, almost basically the same position for 7 years. But I do not want to be in here anymore. Like, I've always wanted to teach. You know, in the situation I'm with my fiancé, he has his degree. He's going back to get his master's. Basically, I would have to almost support him while he goes back to school. Mm. I won't have my degree for a long time. Mm. He wants to have kids after we get married. I'm totally not ready to have kids. I've been on my own for a while. I moved out of the house when I was 19. You know.
Go ahead, Jeff.
So, if you Google quarter life crisis, it's like a real syndrome, and it's everyone that's in here is related to career.
Oh, really?
Like, where people are sitting around in their job, and all of a sudden they're like, where am I going to be in 5 years? This is wrong. And women, the ones I found have focused on women all of a sudden go, like, I totally new life. And they completely quit whatever industry they're working in and find a new.
Well, now's a great time because how many people, you know, women, men, do you know that are 40 years old and at that 24-year-old time period decided to stay in the job that they didn't like anyway, but you were making some money and it started to feel comfortable. And now they're looking back at their life at 40 years old going, damn, I should have changed things at 24. It would have been so easy.
I totally want to change. Like, before it's too late, I feel like. Before I'm, like, in my 50s and going, what did I do with myself?
before it's too late. She's 25.
Yeah, but I think that's real, though. You feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, like, and the money was good, but, I mean, I'm starting to realize, you know, I'm not, my goals aren't about acquiring assets and making a lot of money. You know, it's I just kind of want to do something I'm happy at, right? I'm miserable at my job. I was miserable.
Good morning, Natalie. You're on All the Hits Q100.
Hey, I'm in the middle of reading The Quarter Life Crisis right now, and it's for both men and women.
That's
and
the name of a book?
It is called The Quarter Life Crisis.
Okay.
It was two women that wrote it, and they're in their early 30s now, talking about the prime time to go through it. It's the age 23, 24, right out of college. And it's a lot of interviewing from other people, so it's just showing that the real life, quarter life crisis going through everybody's individual life. So it's actually
already linked up on our website.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, great.
Does it give advice on how to get over it?
It just basically tells you that you're going to have to get over it. You're going to have to move on. This is part of life, and you just got to deal with it. I mean, it's almost like it's another part of a chapter opening. It's not like it's a bad thing. It's just a moving on thing and moving forward.
It just sounds like the tweener stage, like where you were younger and you were out partying and you could live pretty irresponsibly, and you're not quite the responsible adult yet either.
I think it's part of that, but I think it's the fact that you have such high expectations for your life, and then you realize that,
this is my life. I don't, like, you know, I've actually already taken action. Me and my fiance over, I'm like homeless right now. I had to move out of our apartment. I quit my job, and, like, I'm moving to California ASAP. I don't have anybody to drive with. I'm kind of scared to drive by myself, but, you know, it's kind of already done for me.
You just broke up with your fiance and quit your job, but you're afraid to drive?
Well, cross country to a place, well, I guess your parents are there.
But still, that's a pretty, I mean, she's taken some pretty bold moves so far. Driving across the country would be the least of my fears.
Well, I just, you know, I've seen too many things. I've heard some kind of road horror stories, so I'm a little apprehensive about that.
Ramona, I'm going to put you on with Kia here. Then I'm going to put you on Rachel, who doesn't believe this quarter-life crisis is a real thing at all.
Okay, bring it on.
First, Kia. Hey, Kia.
Hey, Bert Show. How y'all doing?
Great. Thank you.
Bert, I think you hit it on the nose. God, I wish I could be irresponsible again.
Right.
I swear. Like, I do not want to go to work right now, but I have to. I mean, it's like, come on. I think that one, she needs to call her fiance back. Do you know how hard it is to find a good man? Girl, you better hold on to him. And second of all, I think that she's like in a tug of war. She doesn't want to be, she wants to be a child, but she has to be an adult. You cannot go running back to mommy and daddy. Suck it up. Do what you got to do.
But if she's not happy in her career and she wasn't happy in her relationship, I think
that... happy in her career at this age? You have to work yourself up there to get there. Go to school at night. You have to sacrifice.
That's a fine line there, though, because you don't want to be stuck in a job that you don't like and continue to do it.
I mean, you have to... Everyone's going through this. Act like she's like someone special. You're just like everyone else. And you're going to go to Florida. You're going to California. You're going to leech off your parents for who knows how long. Stay here and do what you got to do. You're going to be a better person when you come through it. Trust me.
I don't think so. I think she's going to end up being miserable and then wish that she had taken the steps when she was younger.
Right. And Victor's a good man and everything, but I mean, like, it wasn't right. And if I had stayed with him, we would have got divorced. It's better now before anything happened than a year into the marriage where I decide that, you know, I haven't really been in love with you. You're a great guy, and I married you because you're a great guy, and you make a perfect husband, but... No, I'm glad that we broke up. And, you know, as far as mooching off my parents, you know, they're really open to it. I moved out really fast, so, you know, they're willing to help me out while I go to school.
What is the age for women that it is absolutely unacceptable for you to move back in with your parents unless something totally tragic in your life happens?
I graduate from college. You're an adult. I think it's wrong for her to run back to mom and dad at 25.
Whatever. When I graduated from college, I was like $30,000 in debt, and I wasn't making that much a year. And I couldn't even afford to pay rent, even if I had four roommates. What was I supposed to do?
I mean,
Jewel lived in her van.
The thing is, like, I had cars repossessed. I got evicted from places because I was broke in my 20s and never once borrowed money from my parents. Because I was an adult, and it was my choice to be in the situations I was in. If I was in debt in college, that was my fault, which I had credit card debt coming out of college. And you know what? And I never went back to my parents because I was an adult, and they taught me that. I mean, it was my responsibility.
You know, the plan is maybe just to stay with my parents for maybe a year and then
just to kind of, you know, save some money and everything. Plus, you know, I want to move back to California. All of my family's in California. I have nobody out here. I had his family, and that's it. And I have a couple of my really good girlfriends out here, but, you know, it's also to be kind of closer to my family. I didn't really have anybody out here.
Well, hold on one sec here, Ramona. Hey, Rachel, you don't buy this whole quarter-life crisis thing.
Well, I understand the whole quarter-life crisis concept, and I think in Tracy's situation that it's probably pretty valid because she is working and she is trying to make a life for herself, and she does try and sustain a relationship. But quite frankly, I'm disgusted by these girls who are my age and even older who are using a quarter-life crisis as an excuse to be immature and impulsive. This whole crap with quitting your job over an email and dumping your boyfriend because you need to find yourself, it's called life. Grow up. You have to be an adult. You're supposed to go out there and make a life for yourself. Nobody said that life was going to be easy. I just graduated from college in May. I am now 24 years old. I started a job at a law firm 9 days after I walked across that stage and got my diploma. Why? Because I decided, you know what? It's time for me to be an adult. This is the next phase of my life. I control my own destiny, and nobody can do it but me. So sitting there and making excuses for it is ridiculous. And nobody is going to hand you your life on a silver platter. It's called suck it up and work for what you get.
In my sense, I feel like I'm being a little bit brave. The only thing I'm doing is quitting a job that I detest, absolutely detest. I know I don't want to do this anymore.
Why did you do it by email? Because I think that's a sticking point for a lot of people.
Because I was just like, I could not go to work ever.
She was scared.
That's a cowardly thing to do.
Yeah.
How did you break?
I was scared and I was panicked. You know, I mean, it sounds really bad. I had to go to the doctor. I would go to work and just freak out. You know, and then my fiance just did not want me to go to work another day.
Was that freak out? Was that a medically diagnosed freak out, or was that like?
I knew you were going to be mean.
I'm not being mean. I mean, I'm just asking.
Like, you know, just know, like, serious panic attacks, like Tony Soprano on The Sopranos. Like, it was, you know, just anxiety attacks. So, you know, and that was, and I really regret, like, you know, quitting by email. That was really immature. I let my coworkers down. It's done though, and I freaked out and I was kind of scared about that.
Hold on, Ramona, because there's
a million different ways to handle something. Like, you don't quit a job until you have another one because you have bills. You don't break up with your fiance to the point where you don't have a place to live anymore. That's just ignorant. I mean,
okay, so
that's part of being an adult.
I should stay with him because I need a place to live.
No, but there's a different way to handle it, saying, you know, I think I'm falling out of love with you, or I think that, you know, I need some time to myself to find myself because I don't want to go into a marriage because it would be unfair to both of us. But until I find myself, until I have a place where I can live on my own and until I get my feet under me, can we work on this?
I don't want to work on it. We went through a discussion. You know, it's just best that we break up, and I'm not going to stay there because I need a place to live. And it's also unfair to him for me to sleep. I mean, we have a one bedroom. It's not practical for me to stay there when we're broken up. It was best for me to move out if we're not together. And I do have my friends I can stay with for a few weeks.
I just can't believe that we're telling or that Melissa and that some of these callers are telling this girl that if you're not happy with your job, suck it up because that's life. Like, what kind of advice is that?
Well, you have to suck it up until you find a better job. The fact that she quit via email because she just could not be there one more day, I think is immature.
Yeah,
Absolutely immature.
I think quitting via email is immature, and I think the way that she quit, yes. But if you're stuck in a life and you're not happy with your fiance and you're not happy with your job and you just can't stand it anymore.
My thing is that you are expecting a job to satisfy you 100%, and you were naive to think it ever will.
But if she's only being satisfied 20% and it's possible that she can find another job that's going to satisfy her 80%, why on earth should she stay in that career?
And then run away from Atlanta and go to California and live with her parents for a year until she finds something. I do think it's immature.
I think it's just these are tricky years for women here because you're changing so much in these years from 21 to like 25 that was totally acceptable to you at 21 or 22. You're just a different person that's not going to like the same thing. So why would you stay in a job if...
But she has no responsibilities. Her only responsibility is to herself. She doesn't
I'm agreeing with you, Tracy.
Okay.
I don't agree with breaking up, you know, or leaving your job via email. But
yeah,
I think
that was pretty stupid. I'm
sorry. That was really pretty stupid.
And I can't take... If I could take it back, I would, but I can't. It's done over. And it's totally out of character for me, too. So, you know, but...
Hey, Melissa.
You know what? The bottom line is we're arguing this, and we can argue, and Melissa can argue that you're being immature and you're handling it wrong, and then people can call up and defend you and say so she's doing it fine. But the bottom line is in 24 months she's going to be a totally different person.
Sure.
Like it's not going to. Like, this is irrelevant. You know what I mean? This is so...
I don't think it's irrelevant, because I think if you don't ask yourself the questions and ask you where you are in life, then in 2 years it becomes irrelevant, because you have to ask yourself the questions.
But the thing is, you're going to ask yourself different questions. My point is, you're always going to ask yourself questions. It doesn't... 25 is not the...
But what difference does it make if
the decisions you make at 25 are not going to be the decisions that you're going to stay with at 30 or stay with at 35.
But what difference
does it make changing?
If she asks these questions in Atlanta or California, like, who cares?
Well, that's my. I think that going to California, I think I agree with. I think she's running away from something. California is not going to be the pinnacle of happiness that you could do it in Atlanta.
I don't understand what you're saying, Jeff. I don't get your point.
The bottom line is everyone in the world has had the thought, I'm just going to give it all up and go do something else. Like I'm done with it. Whether it's in college and it's your major that you're talking about, whether it's high school making a decision to go to college or when you get out and you get in your career, everybody makes, and some people say, you know what, no, the responsible thing to do is to stay here and suck it up and pay my bills. And then some people say, no, screw it, I'm going to go live with my parents in California for 2 years. But the bottom line is, she is, like, the lessons of life are going to be learned no matter where you are, and she's 24 years old. I have no basis of saying, like, I can't argue for her, because if I make the argument like Melissa is, so, you know, that she's being immature and she shouldn't go, it's going to be irrelevant, because in 2 years she's going to be a different person.
When are you planning on taking off for California?
ASAP. It looks like the way it's going right now, it looks like I'm going to drive by myself, so.
You might enjoy the time by yourself. I mean, certainly be careful and all that stuff, but, you know, you... Take your time and, you know, make sure you're safe driving and all that stuff. But it might be good to be alone.
Call us on your way out to California. When you're in the car on the way to California, I'd love to talk to you and see how you're feeling.
And I really love your show. I listen to it every day. So
thanks. You can still get us from California.
Okay.
All right, Ramona.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
The Burt Show.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money. But nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I was just telling these guys that my friend Susie came down from Philadelphia to visit Stacy and I over the weekend, and she was really complaining because she works for the government up there, and some, like, crime... She's a consultant to some crime specialist unit thing. It was so complicated, I didn't even understand it. And she's got, like, this MBA at Harvard, and she's a real brainiac and a real thinker. And the first year that she was in this job, she loved it. It was so invigorating for her every single day to go into work. But then there was a management change there, and everybody in her department pretty much, they need to keep the department, but there's just not enough work to go around, and they don't want to start losing people. So everybody in her department literally goes in every day, and nobody does any work at all. I mean, nothing. She's taking Pilates in the middle of the day. She's leaving for hours at a time. Nobody questions it. She gets a paycheck every 2 weeks because they don't want to lose the department. But she's going out of her mind because she hasn't done a lick of work in over a year. Now, Tammy is on the voice disguiser, not her real name. Hey, Tammy, you can relate to this?
Oh, yes. I get a job. You know, I've pretty much been like an office manager, administrative assistant for the last 15 years, I guess. And anyway, the last one, this man, I went into his company, and he said he just bought 3 companies, and I was going to run them all out of this central big office. You know, this big office style, this fancy furniture with like 5 offices, but nobody works there. So, but he says he's going to have this generated here and generated there. Well, we what he did is, I think he did buy the companies, and all he got me to do was just do collections. Well, eventually, after I collected everything, I find out he's got a divorce. He's moved to Florida, but he still wants me to come to that office and take calls. So in the meantime, I have my husband there, and we do it on the conference table. We have candlelight dinners.
Oh,
in the office, in the morning. And he's the farthest to know a payroll company does no payroll. So, you know, I get my paycheck courier to the office. It's in an office building where it has a deadbolt on the door, so no one else will come there and do any fake delivery if they couldn't come in. So it's like I can take, if, you know, my stepson, if he comes and stays with us, I can take him there. I mean, I can do anything I want. I can leave, I can come. And then that's where I learned how to just forward my cell phone call just in case he calls.
Wow.
He'll call once every few weeks, you know.
And he's in Florida, so he's never in the office, so you can do whatever you want. And how long has this been going on?
About 9 months.
You haven't worked in 9 months.
I'm still stuck on you doing it on the conference.
Oh, yeah, friends just love it, you know. They ask, well, can I buy your office?
Are you bored out of your mind, or is this a situation that you're not so upset with?
Oh, no, he's going to go out of business. I mean, I collected all the money he can collect. Now he has so many collectors out of him. I'm just pretty much waiting for him to shut the door.
Right. Yeah, so you're just riding it out right now. All right, Tim.
Yeah, I'm riding now.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation about intimacy in the workplace. But anyway.
Yeah, another time.
Another time.
Hey, Tim needs to be on The Voice Disguiser also. Hey, Tim.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Ah, great. I've got probably the best push job. It's been going on for more than 10 years.
What?
I show up. I barely work in the mornings, and I do like a split shift. And usually during the afternoons, I go drink beers and stuff and come back in the afternoon.
Nobody really even knows what I do around the office, and I'm basically all by myself in my own department, and I've been doing this for over 10 years, getting really good paychecks.
Hang on, Tim. I had a problem with the voice disguiser in the middle of that, and it kind of shut off.
Oh, no!
Is it almost time for a traffic report, Crash?
Oh, there you go.
And Elon, good morning. You are on All the Hits Q100.
Hi. I just like to make a comment about my mother's job.
Okay.
She's been working there for about 3.5 years, and she works in South Fulton County, and she doesn't do anything. She shops online all day, and she's so bored, she does the internet part of my research papers. It's kind of ridiculous.
What type of industry is she in?
She water department.
In a lot of cases, these are government jobs.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, I've never had a government job. So I'm not exactly sure how the whole thing works, but I guess you get into that job, it's very hard to get fired. Really, really tough to get fired.
It's ridiculous.
I think it's funny. I try to be safe about it and say, what type of industry is she in? And you're like, she works for Rick Hayes Hyundai in Gwinnett. No, automobiles, I mean.
And how long did you say this has been going on
now? 3.5 years.
3.5 years and hasn't done any work in 3.5 years.
No, she has not.
And you can kind of sense it. Anybody that has had to deal with any kind of government department for anything, you know how those workers are not quite motivated.
They don't quite
do it in a timely manner. Like, I mean, you can tell. Yeah, they don't care.
They're not going anywhere.
No.
Because you have to fill out things in triplicate to get them fired, and then you got, you know, so many different problems.
They love her so much at her job. None of them do anything. It's ridiculous.
That is so disturbing.
Yeah.
Who's paying the salary for these government employees?
You and me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Intern Emily, you're not going to tell us about your internship where you haven't done anything in 6 months, have you?
Well,
because we're already on to you.
Not this time.
Okay.
When I was about 17 or 18, I took a job with a printer company doing sort of sales assistant stuff for, you know, just they put us out in different store locations. I was obviously the one in the middle of nowhere, and I got paid extremely well, about 3 times what my other job was paying me. So I was like, cool, you know, good summer job. I'll hang on to it for a while. And it was so boring. I'd sit, you know how computers are stacked? Like they have them all on display and then underneath they have the ones that you sort of, in the boxes that you take to the cashier and you buy. And I would sit underneath there and read a book. I didn't ask a person if they needed help. I didn't do anything.
How long was this going on for?
I lasted about 8 months because I got so bored. And it was my senior year of high school. And, you know, on Saturday mornings that when we have our cricket and rugby matches and all of my friends are there, you know, sort of, high school sport is as big as college sport is. So I was missing out on all of that for 8 months. And I was like, this is ridiculous.
God, I worked for a job where you don't work at all for 8 months.
Yeah,
I worked at a gas station once, part-time. Same idea where there's just like, it was a Sunday afternoon. And it's like, it was on a busy road that's busy during rush hour during the week. But like on Sunday, if you had one customer an hour, and I got fired when they found me on surveillance tapes burning things.
That is so you.
Mary here needs to be on the voice disguise, or she'll be the last call on this. Hey, Mary, go ahead.
Hey. My job is awesome. I just pretty much sit in an office all day and do absolutely nothing. I get on my computer, download pictures, chat with friends, and just pretty much read magazines, do absolutely nothing.
Are you supposed to be doing some work, or are you just don't have any job responsibilities?
My work is pretty much like I answer phone calls every now and then, and I call some people every now and then, but pretty much there's like nothing to do. They just need somebody to be in the office in case somebody calls, you know?
I mean,
so it's like not, sometimes I get a little bored, but I get paid extremely well for like doing nothing.
I know it sounds like a dream thing, but mm-mm. I couldn't do that.
Me neither.
I can't just have nothing to do and be satisfied.
Can I ask you how much you're making?
Yeah, I make $500 a week tax-free.
$500 a week tax-free just to sit around and do nothing. Wow. Yeah, I think that I'd be going out of my mind also. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. All right, thank you for calling.
Bye
bye.
It's like what you said, like you're just watching the minutes tick by, and it's like minutes turn into hours. Ugh.
You know what I caught myself doing last night? You're talking about watching the minutes tick by. It's the equivalent of, remember when your social studies teacher would put on a movie in class, and it was like
you instantly start to gaze over?
Yes. Yeah. You get that, like, I actually caught myself, I thought of this, and I caught myself watching one on Georgia Public Broadcasting last night, and I had the thought, oh my God, this is something they could have showed me in 10th grade.
Yeah.
And I immediately would have looked at the clock and cursed the half secondhand backwards movement right. Every time the clock ticked.
Right.
Hey, The Burt Show.
All right, I want to go back to this Nikki Hilton story.
Now, we were telling you yesterday that Nikki Hilton's former best friend was absolutely shocked to hear that she married this guy, Todd Meister, because she had been engaged to him before. She is 19-year-old Charlotte Friend, and she was reportedly beside herself at the news because she dated him for 2 years, and he even proposed to her last March, but I guess she felt she was too young, so she broke off the engagement because she was 19 and he was 30. But anyway, yeah, so he had been engaged before marrying Nikki Hilton. He's 31 now, and Nikki Hilton is 20.
It's the engagement part, really. It's not the age thing. I mean, there's so many different things to focus in on this,
right.
On this couple and this relationship. But the one that interests me here is the former engagement. Now, I know for me, if I was dating somebody that had been engaged one time before and the engagement broke off, not a big deal, okay? But what I want to know is if you're dating somebody and they've been engaged more than one time, does that send you a big old red flag once you start dating them? 404-741-1005. Or would you be like, not a big deal? I'll give you an even worst case example. One of my really good friends out in San Francisco, Tony, has a sister named Dee Dee who's been engaged now 3 different times before she got married. She finally pulled the trigger on the 4th one. But she was engaged 3 times, and all of them broke off before the actual wedding.
Did she break them off each time?
She broke them off each time.
Mm.
So I'm asking
the
you guys.
The detective has found a clue. Yeah.
If you guys found out you were dating somebody that had been engaged more than one time, would you break off the relationship knowing that chances were pretty good once you got engaged, they were going to ask you anyway. 404-741-1005.
I think from a, like, in, if the guy had been engaged a lot and I was in that relationship, it goes back to the feeling, being, you know, the wanting to feel special.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have a hard time because I'm thinking he has been that close to that many women that he's proposed to them, that when he gets to me, like, it just, I don't know. I think it would throw up a red flag, you know?
Is it possible that women that are engaged more than one time have the same feeling that they do? Like those women that we know that love the feeling of planning a wedding, like J-Lo.
Right, but J-Lo just actually gets married.
Right, she gets married and has enough money to blow where she can spend all that cash on a wedding and it doesn't matter to her.
Right.
But isn't there like a whole different set of feelings when everybody's coming up to you, congratulating you on your engagement, let me see the ring, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah, you're the center of attention. When you're the bride and you're engaged for a year, you are... like on, I mean, you're the center of attention of all conversations.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's by like, the third time, isn't it kind of like,
You're the sketch. Yeah, could be. But I think it's that they probably love the excitement of the whole thing because it is so exciting. And you walk into a party or a group of friends and everybody wants to know about you and what's going on with you and what's going on with the wedding and all that stuff. So they must just want to repeat that and repeat that and repeat that.
Shannon says wouldn't bother her. Hey, Shannon.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
No, I don't think it would bother me. My idea would be if that person was dating the other person for a long period of time and then maybe they broke it off, you know, several relationships. But I think that would be better that they got out of a relationship before they got married as opposed to, like, getting divorced.
Wouldn't you be a little skeptical, though? Let's say, Shannon, you're dating Jeff over here, right? You guys go out.
Hi.
That's disturbing enough.
Yeah.
I'm already challenging your character.
That's cool.
All right, so you and Jeff are going out, and you know in his past that he was engaged to three different women.
Hi.
And he proposes to you. Do you take that proposal serious, or are you like, chances are pretty good this is never going to end up in a marriage?
No. I would take it serious. I think I would. I mean, because each relationship is different. I really believe that. I really believe each relationship is different, not necessarily how many times he was engaged to someone else.
Oh, I'd be red flagging that thing.
And then also you have to wonder why he is so ready to get married. Like some, I don't know, because sometimes if I see a guy be married and then, well, of course, this is marriage and then divorce and then marriage again. But sometimes if a guy can't be alone and he needs a woman in his life, and I would just wonder what my role would be in his world. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we've learned, though, that we can keep you all in a relationship for a long, long time without actually getting engaged.
Yeah, so, but you're right, though. I think Melissa's right. I think that does throw up red flags. Like, what role am I going to play? Am I going to be his mommy? Does he want somebody to mommy him?
Need somebody to cook for him, clean for him?
Need somebody to do his laundry? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, what is he looking for here if he's looking for it in every single woman that he's been with and, you know, been engaged three times?
Hey, Charity.
Hey.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I've been engaged 5 times, which I say so-called engaged, and I tell every time somebody asks me if blah, 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 if you don't have a ring, you're really not engaged. I've been proposed to, but I never got a ring till my husband gave me a ring. So it was the thing where I don't want her to leave. I want us to be together. So let me go ahead and tell her I want to marry her. And then it'll prolong the relationship, like kind of like what Bert said. But they feel like if you say you're engaged, you know, it's like, okay, yes, we're finally going to do it. And then, you know, eventually I'm like, okay, I don't have time for this. I don't have a ring. You're not showing me anything. I'm gone. And so I don't. It really depends on the situation. I don't think there's something wrong with the person because I don't think there's anything wrong with me. It's just the men I got with every time is like, well, I don't want her to leave. She's talking about she don't want to be in a relationship, so I'm gonna propose to her without a ring. Your broke behind didn't really want to marry me anyway.
So is your husband number 5? Is that the 5th guy?
When he did propose, we weren't even together at the time. He came with the ring and everything, and I was like, oh, this is real. Okay. So I got my cousins, my sisters, and everything like, he proposed, but he didn't give me a ring. I said, girl, he don't want to marry you.
Yeah, to me, that's the definition right there.
I don't even care if it come out of bubblegum machine.
All right, Charity, thanks for calling.
Bye.
See you later.
The Bert Show.